Bob Rivers in the morning and the greatest hits of the 60s, 70s, and 80s.
KJR-FM and HD1 Seattle.
95.7 KJR.
An iHeart radio station.
It was the final episode of MASH, and 125 million people watched it, which was like half of everybody these days. Has anything equaled that?
Nothing's really come close. There's a few Super Bowls, and there is some discrepancy on the MASH. It's some people say it was only 106 million, others say 125 million. There's been a couple Super Bowls go over 100 million, but nothing else has come close. No drama has ever made it over 100 million.
I'm pretty sure the voting rules for Nielsen have to be changed. Some people got in voted for MASH that shouldn't have gotten in.
Do you think that's because MASH was so insanely popular, or because there were so much fewer shows than there are now?
There were three channels.
That's why.
It was on one of them.
Yeah.
And it got incredible hype. The episode was really underwhelming.
I was so disappointed.
Yeah.
And that final was a goodbye, good luck, and go home, whatever it's called.
But it harkens back to a time when we could really all have a shared experience that didn't involve, you know, pointing out some celebrity and wondering what they're stooping, or, you know, if they're lip syncing. These days, the common experiences we have are when we all, like, point at somebody.
Sometimes we point at them for good things.
Maybe.
Like, remember Susan Boyle on Britain's Got Talent?
Absolutely.
And we all pointed and made fun of how she looked. Yeah,
but
that was awesome.
That was a good thing. No, awesome. None of us noticed that.
Right.
You see what I mean? Whereas we couldn't all say, like, tune in tonight. There's going to be a fabulous State of the Union speech. Let's all watch it together.
Oh, I know a shared experience that was good. When Kate Middleton and what's-his-face got married.
Yes. Although,
and everyone around the world was like, hurrah! Yeah.
Again, the ratings for those are, it's good if 30 or 40 million watch.
Yeah.
Even though there's more population. Okay, it was MASH 30 years ago today. 125 million, they say. It's been a good week for Joan Rivers. She's at the top of her game. She's on a Showtime special I saw last night. She is
for her stand-up,
several
right?
television series. The woman is, I believe, at the peak of her funniness, and really all her marbles are there. And how old is she, Joe?
You don't know what she said then, obviously.
Well, I haven't heard about this story. No, not yet.
Well,
she defended a couple of different
people. She still has all her marbles, but she's in two different appearances this week. She's managed to upset.
Get more publicity and get us to talk about her.
Yes, she has.
Yeah, really
poor thing, she's really losing it.
And she wasn't with some hot 19-year-old son of a star to do it either.
She would.
She offended. She made some really bad Adele jokes, and then she made some really bad Holocaust.
So bad that we're talking about it.
Yeah.
Let me see. What'd she say? She's Jewish, you know.
That's why she gets a pass.
Adele took home an Oscar at the Best Original Song category, and Joan Rivers poked fun at the singer's size. I met Adele. Has she been on the show? Rivers asked Letterman, puffing out her cheeks and holding her arms far away from her body. The audience booed. Rivers snapped, "Oh no, she's thin. Can we just talk to each other here? What is her song, Rolling in the Deep? She should add fried chicken." That's vintage Joan Rivers.
I know.
Yeah. Is Adele big? I don't even.
She's a full-size woman.
Yeah.
She also just had a baby, too, so. But she was a full-size woman before she had the baby.
Okay. Rivers is also being called upon by the Anti-Defamation League to. The woman is like 80. You're not going to win by giving her publicity.
The Anti-Defamation League? Is this a career? Are they going back to the
first
day?
Well, she made
a
Holocaust joke about Heidi Klum on the E! Show Fashion Police. She said the last time a German looked this hot, they were pushing Jews into the ovens.
Oh, sorry.
Wow.
It's funny.
Sorry.
She can say it.
Oh, my God.
She can say it. And as far as those tasteless jokes go, it was a pretty good one.
But, I mean, it's tasteless, and you shouldn't.
Right.
I would never.
No, you're not allowed to.
Okay. That's Joan Rivers. It is 7:04. You know Dirk Benedict as Starbuck. Captain Starbuck, hi.
Greetings.
Greetings.
I just flew in my Viper.
Good.
I had trouble getting into Boeing Field. Yeah, they didn't like that. Didn't know my call sign.
Well,
Starbuck won.
They were expecting different colors on Captain Starbuck arriving. They were expecting the mermaid logo and the whole deal.
The mermaid logo?
Yeah. You know, the mermaid from Starbucks.
Oh, the mermaid. Yeah. I'm sorry.
In this
I'm sorry.
Town,
you know, I tried to get them to give me a half of a... Of a one tenth of a penny for every cup of Starbucks or so.
And they wouldn't give it to you. You should. Didn't you own the rights?
I wouldn't have to be sitting here talking to you if I'd done that. Well, my character was Starbucks, and it was shortly there, right about that time when Starbucks started.
It started a little bit after
I was highly suspicious, yeah.
Captain Starbuck and also Faceman.
Lieutenant Starbuck. I don't want to get
Lieutenant Captain.
No,
yeah. Is it Lieutenant?
I was a Lieutenant, yeah. Right.
And Faceman on the 80s action hit The A-Team. Some of you may also know him from his comic book, Dirk Benedict in the 25th Century. Those credentials make Dirk one of the big celebrities at Emerald City Comic Con, which opens tomorrow. And Spike's going to be there. Jody's going to be there. It's going to be a good time.
Where are you going to be?
I will.
You got better things to do than come and watch me?
I'll watch episodes at home.
Don't bring
that
up.
No, in real life, in person.
It's okay. It is nice to meet you. I'm
a huge veteran
fan of all these sci-fi
shows. Are you? Really? Yeah.
And I'm an officer in Starfleet. In Star Trek.
Oh, really?
What was my official title?
Well, nerd.
No.
Chief nerd.
No, I'm on two episodes.
Oh, really? I don't know much about.
You want to? Let me reenact Bob's scene for you.
I was punching buttons.
Oh yeah,
on Star
yeah.
Trek. I was a walk on. All right.
That was his best side. They showed you.
They showed my backside. Yeah. All right. So welcome. Well, how are you?
I'm good. It's a little early in the morning. I just flew in, like I said, from Montana. And I don't get up this early anymore.
Is that where you live?
Yeah, I live. I was born and raised there, and I'm now living there.
Do you have a little ranch?
No, it's the tent pitched by the I have a little tent, a little pitch, a little bonfire, mm-hmm. a little cook stove. And actually, years ago, I bought when I was doing Battlestar Galactica, it's the place that Starbuck bought, the Battlestar money. Mm-hmm. And I bought this beautiful plant. But it's an old log cabin. It was off the grid. And this was back in the 70s. It was kind of weird, but it had gravity flow water. It's a log cabin, wood cook stove, wood heat stove, kerosene lamps, and its own gravity flow water system and a spring house.
Wow.
And it was built in the 20s, but I had it all brought back so it was in good shape. And then when I got divorced, when my marriage got canceled, you know, TV shows.
Like a TV show, yeah.
But when your marriage, when you're no longer starring in that, it's like, you go, oh, man. So I went back to Montana with my two little boys. And for 10 years, I raised them in that little log cabin, about 900 square feet. And so they grew up with a wood cook stove and kerosene lamps.
So you do. You adhere to those old values of staying close to the land and the soil and churning your own butter or, you know.
Well, I don't.
You grow some vegetables or fruit?
I churn my own bile. My own guts churn every now and then. But my butter doesn't churn anymore. Okay.
You're very humble, by the way. You have a book. And in your book, you talk about your tough life. You're coming up. Your parents divorced.
Yeah.
Your dad, you lost when you were like 10 years old.
18. 18. I was 18. Which is worse. Because at 18, you know, at 10, you're young enough to like pretend it didn't happen. Well, I pretended it didn't happen to you. But at 18, well, it was a patricide. So it was a patricide.
What is a patricide?
Well,
he killed himself.
That's for your. We don't let your listeners go. Well, there's homicide. There's suicide. There's fratricide. Uh-huh. There's patricide, and then there's backside, which is what you did on Star Trek.
Anyway, it was very sad. It was very sad.
It was very sad. Yeah.
And yet you accomplished so much in a very
short
big career. And you say your career was over when you were 28 for a while.
Yeah, right. It was, yeah. And you read Confessions of a Kamikaze Cowboy.
That's where it's from, yeah.
Yeah, it's the best thing I ever did in my life, other than raise my two children by myself, was that book. That book is, I'm glad I wrote it and shared that experience.
Did you share it so you could move beyond worrying about it?
No, I shared it because, number one, I felt I had to. I just had to. I had to because... And then I was done with that. I just couldn't keep this. I just had to do it. Because when I was doing Battlestar Galactica, you know, I mean, people said, why do you eat so weird? And why do you have these weird perceptions and philosophy and stuff? And I would do interviews. You know, I was a big TV star for a brief amount of time. Right after Battlestar Galactica, there was a time there when I was like, you know. So a lot of interviews and always dancing around it. I said, so I had a dear friend, Bill Dufty, who was married to Gloria Swanson. He said, you just got to write a book. Just write the book.
Write a book and get it all out there.
Get it out there. And then you're done with it. And
you're done with it until some guy interviews you like 20 years later.
Right. Yeah. But I can say to him now, I can say, well, just read the book.
That's good. Now, I'm looking at your, I mean, this is a beautiful heyday PR photo.
No, that's from when I did Celebrity.
That's from yesterday.
Two years ago.
Is it really?
I know what the hell is happening to you. No, it's...
you do look older than this photo, but I didn't want to say it.
It's that's a 2007 Celebrity Big Brother in London.
6 years ago.
Wow, you look pretty darn good.
I was pretty darn... Well, I still am.
Still today. Actually, yeah, still pretty good. Did you remarry?
My birthday's tomorrow. Oh, I shouldn't have said that, but I like to brag about how young I am.
How young are you?
No. Well, I'm really close to 70.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I would brag. Baby. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I go by decades, so.
Would you
round up. So people say, how old are you?
66, yeah.
I say I'm 70.
Would you like birthday gifts tomorrow at Comic-Con?
No, I wanted them now before I leave. Because I know you guys, you won't bring anything if I wait till tomorrow.
You look pretty healthy there. Living in the Montana living is good for you.
Yeah, it's pretty good, you know. And also, learning to let go is the secret. You know, let go of, emotional, psychological.
Stress.
Stress. Yeah. A lot of people, especially, you know, in any profession, but particularly, I think, in show business, it's easy to be bitter or to be or hold grudges and that'll kill you. That'll age you and that'll make you.
Because so much of it is out of your control, right?
Yeah, you're always temper. At the mercy of somebody else.
You talked about your marriage getting canceled. That was rather interesting. Like, you look at life that way, like things come and they go and
they do.
They're hot for a while, they get canceled. And when you're at a Comic-Con, what is it like for you? When people come up to you, like, I'm sure they ask you obscure questions about the show.
I usually get, there's about 5 questions that I get all the time.
Okay,
and then every now and then there's somebody will surprise, well, what was it like to work with Mr. T? Was his, mostly about Mr. T. I said, wait, what about me?
Yeah. I was interested.
No, what was it like to work with him? Was it gold real? Do you guys, did the A-Team still stay in touch? Did you really sleep with all those girls when you were doing Battlestar? And could you name names? And
Yeah.
Of course, I do all that, but I charge for naming names because I may have to hire a lawyer if I do too much.
Tell you, Battlestar Galactica changed my life, and I don't know if you have a lot of guys say that to you, but it really did. My mom bought a Betamax machine, one of the first VCRs
ever
out.
Yeah.
And she went with the Betamax. She was sure that was going to be the winner.
Right.
For
yeah. And the first thing I used this Betamax for was to record Battlestar Galactica episodes.
Yeah.
And then I would hide in the house, and my parents would go off to work, and I'd skip school, and I'd stay home all day.
So it changed your life in that you flunked out of school.
Right. Well, I was going to flunk out. They had a meeting to kick me out of school because I was never going to school because I was at home watching Battlestar Galactica. And they said, we got to do something. So I said, well, I'll switch schools. And then I moved in with my dad. He didn't have a Betamax. And I switched schools, and the rest is history. I graduated and made it through. But it had not been for my...
So canceling your show saved his life.
Yeah, I was obsessed with watching that show.
He's going to be happy about that.
Oh, hey, it was an awesome show.
You love the show.
And the guy, I would be...
Well, what did I just say? Learning to let go is the secret. Letting go of your addiction to Battlestar Galactica or in my case, women.
The guy I would...
Did you have a women addiction?
I like flirting. And it got me in trouble. And
cancellation of your marriage, I heard. Is it
what?
Is that the cancellation of your marriage?
No,
is
that wasn't that. What led to that was just my. I'm a parent. I wanted to live in Montana, and I wanted to step away, and, you know, I was kind of, you know, she married a TV star who then started to morph into this log cabin guy who was going to live
totally
in Montana, raise
thing,
his kids up there in the mountains, and what the hell is that? That's not what I signed on for. In a way, minute we're having, playing tennis with Michael Landon, and the next thing we know, I'm cooking on a wood cook stove. I go, wait, no, this isn't the deal.
It's totally a scary change of life.
Yeah, and to me it was perfectly normal. I mean, I grew up in Montana, I wanted to do that. So
well, you got a better deal than Michael Landon too. I mean, he's a rest
I knew.
In peace.
Yeah, he was a wonderful guy. His people contacted me. I talked to him briefly, but when he had his cancer, his pancreatic.
Yeah.
He had a really, really voracious kind of pancreatic cancer, and they tried everything, but they came to me because I had just my book had just come out about cancer and changing what you feed yourself and.
You're on a macrobiotic diet, I read.
Mm-hmm.
Still to this day?
Yeah, yeah.
What is that?
It's a good question, but it's almost another hour and a half show, and it's really hard because...
Boil it down.
Zen Buddhism. It comes out of Zen Buddhism.
Okay.
It's the...
What can't you eat?
Oh, you can eat anything.
But not a lot at the movie theater snack counter. Not a lot.
No, you wouldn't. But it's like you can eat whatever you want, but then there will be consequences. So macrobiotics is a philosophy. I mean, you choose what you eat, and then you choose your destiny. So if you want to die from lung cancer, there's certain things to eat. If you want to die from prostate, there's certain things to eat that will give you that, which is quite an adventure. I mean, Michael Landon had an adventure in his death, you know, the way he died and what he went through. I mean, that was an incredible, very intense thing.
Tell me your favorite foods.
He was a meat and whiskey guy, meat and alcohol. Well, I don't know, whiskey, but alcohol.
Brown rice, Bob.
We had a couple of conversations. I used to do his tennis, celebrity tennis thing, and he thought I was a little nuts. I had my brown rice with my tadpole beans and seaweed and stuff. And you don't ever eat a steak. But in answer to your question, there's nothing evil. I mean, there's nothing evil about sugar or meat, but they're A, not necessary, B, very extreme, C, they have a tremendous kind of effect on the body. Mm. This is why Eskimos who live in Alaska are macrobiotic, even though they're completely almost carnivorous.
They don't even know they're macrobiotic. I mean, that's
no, they don't
what
know.
Is but the term macro means like small, well, and biotic means biology. Life. Eat biology. Eat life.
Macro is large. Micro
is large. Micro is small. Micro
you're
is soft.
You're on a macrobiotic diet, and you don't even realize
what
it.
What do you mean?
It's whole foods. Oh. It's, you know, of course, there are some additions of things.
Yeah.
Things that grow and things that run.
Well,
and you have to catch them.
If one's taste buds are good, you could say macrobiotic. You just eat what appeals to you. The problem is our taste buds are usually so screwed up. We first start eating when we're in the womb. I mean, whatever the mother eats, that's what the feed. And then if you breastfeed, whatever the mother that. So that's your first food store.
Palm Malls and cream de menthe then for me.
And you set up cravings. So, you know, like they talk about crack babies, there are Coca-Cola and Big Mac babies. If mama's having Big Macs, when that baby gets to two or three or four, they have a lifetime of craving, whatever.
You're fascinatingly entertaining. I could talk to you
for hours. Yeah, so now you're cutting me off. Yeah.
No, because they're telling me you have to go.
Yeah,
it's time to go. We got to sell something.
Yeah. You have to sell something
somewhere else. I hope your sponsor is not...
You called America the Prozac nation, land of facelifts. America is terrified of the passage of time. What do you mean by that?
Well, they are. They're terrified. Well, it's. What do I mean? Well, I think it speaks for itself. It's like
we don't want to get old.
Afraid of the moment. We don't want to get old. Right. But why don't we want to get old? Because getting old means you're going to die. Well, what? So we're terrified of death. Look, this whole nation is fear driven. You know, we have a president right now that is just, every time he opens his mouth, he creates fear. He talks about fear. Mm. He talks about how it's just fear, fear, fear. But his solution is, of course, government. But it's like getting people to do things out of fear, which is not the way to lead.
Not the way to motivate. How do you motivate
people? But it's the
way people
in this country, it's like healthcare. Oh, my God, where's your healthcare? Where's your insurance? Where's your this? I'm getting old. I mean, when you watch the Academy Awards, you know, you see all that surgery and all that. I just see... You know, it's a spiritual bankruptedness of a country.
So what's a good way to motivate people? That'd be a fantastic way to end this interview. What instead of fear? Because we do it to our kids too. What's a better thing to say?
Yeah, we do. I didn't do it to my children. I didn't. You know, I've seen them, the parents instilling fear. Oh, don't climb that tree. Don't put your helmet on. Don't tip over. Don't do that. I said, go for it. Jump off climb the tree.
This is Montana. Get
climb
out
the tree.
There.
If you fall, you break a leg, they will learn.
The bear will teach you.
Take a chance. You have to take a chance.
Because
failing is the secret to success, as many, many wise people have said. You have to fail to succeed. So if you never have failure, you will never end up doing Comic-Con or doing the Emerald Isle thing here in Seattle.
Dirk, you're the greatest.
Ah, shucks. Thanks for having me. I enjoyed it.
Lieutenant... Starbuck.
Signing off.
Dirk Benedict. Friday through Sunday at the Washington State Convention Center. We're going to link to all the places you can be assured of seeing Dirk at bobrivers.com. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bob. Thanks for having me.
All right. Take care.
Oh, there it is.
Are your handlers are grabbing you now? No, it's okay. I understand. Have fun all day on the media.
Thank you so much.
Happy birthday.
You guys kick ass this weekend.
Thanks, Bob.
Great show.
I shouldn't have said that. I don't know.
Everybody bring him presents. He wants beans and legumes, miso soup, sea vegetables.
Bring him a sack of legumes. Yeah.
Can he eat macaroni?
He cannot eat macaroni.
No? Okay.
No macaroni.
What he was saying philosophically is those other things aren't by themselves evil. They're just potent, strong, and they do things to you. You can choose whether you want to do those things.
Macrobiotic diet is very healthy. I tend to go on and off of it. You could go to bobrivers.com if you want more information on a macrobiotic diet. We'll post it.
Post something there.
Yeah. It's pretty easy. Very healthy.
Well, I mean, generally speaking, I was suckled on bright packaging and boxes that said Betty Crocker on them, boxes that said Franco-American, boxes that said this and that, and colors. Groceries had colors. They put orange and red labels on things, and those are appealing. And the part of the grocery store that was the boring was the green part, you know?
I'll tell you, I just am a little, I don't know what to say, that beer and whiskey and meat and whiskey killed Michael Landon. That is a terrible revelation to me.
Is it really? Why?
Well, Michael Landon, for one, I mean, he's a saint, which is, I like the fact that saints can enjoy whiskey and meat. I mean, this guy was the best of the best, but I had no idea that's according to Dirk there, that's what got him.
Is that what really stuck with you? Because the information about his father, I thought, was the one I couldn't let him off the hook for. What was that about?
What is patricide?
Isn't that when you kill your own father?
That's what I thought it was. I was too scared to bring it up.
I'm glad we brushed by and started talking about avocados and beets and other nightshade vegetables. But the whole time I'm sitting here going, this dude killed his own father.
I don't think it was him. I think somebody, maybe a sibling.
Oh, right.
His dad died, from what I'm gathering from that conversation, what I know of the definition of the word patricide.
Yeah.
His dad was killed by an offspring. That's like the definition
of patricide.
That's what it
means, patricide. Yeah.
Oh.
Maybe not. Maybe his dad had other children, other families.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
I'll tell you what, though. I want to read the book now.
It was his brother.
It was his brother. Okay. That's what. I'm glad he didn't get into it, actually.
Bing just told me.
Fascinating, interesting guy.
That's what a cabin in Montana will do to a guy over a couple three decades. Introspection, perspective, the ability to create magic with a skillet and some wood.
Yeah, and the ex-wife doesn't visit.
I love that she was like, woo! Tennis with Mr. T, and then all of a sudden he's got her in a 900 square foot log cabin with kerosene. He's surprised that she was like, you know, I'm going back for that.
722. Dirk Benedict, one of the many big stars this weekend at Comic-Con, the Emerald City Comic-Con. To me, all writing is like music, he said, especially dialogue. I studied music in college. That's why I wanted to be a composer. He got sidetracked in acting. He didn't intend to become an actor.
He was too good looking not to be an actor at that place and that time. Mm. I mean, he was Starbuck, and he was Ace Face in the A-Team, two of the biggest shows on television, and he was the, you know, pretty boy, quote-unquote.
Okay. Hey, here's one you're going to love, Jody.
Good.
A new study says that women have gained weight because of the decline in the amount of housework they now do.
Is that right?
That's true. And it's not from some far-flung land. Well, it is. It's from South Carolina.
Uh-huh. Where fat women live in dirty houses, apparently.
For what it's worth, the team behind the study is mostly male. but the team does have a few women on it. What they said is, in 1965, the average woman did 25.7 hours of cooking and cleaning a week. That meant they were up and they were active and they were burning calories. Today, women do half that, 13.3 hours of cooking and cleaning per week. What do they do with the other 12? They're sitting on the couch. They're watching TV. This is in South Carolina.
That's hilarious. Pack my bags.
The average woman burns between 132 and 360 fewer calories a day now than 1965. Well, is there some truth to that?
Of course. Crockpot, Roomba, you know, technology has made housework easier.
That's right. Here's Wes in Everett. Hello.
Hello.
Good morning, Wes.
Good morning. How you doing? I don't need no stinking gluten-free
diet.
Thank you.
That was an amazing sentence.
You were doing so well there until you needed to put a word
on it. How long have you been an actor of the theater?
No, I was raised in California. I know Spanish a little bit.
Got it.
And what was the Spanish word?
Turn your radio down. You're blowing your own mind right now.
Yeah. Turn your radio down.
I got to go. I got to walk, and that's very difficult, but I'll do it.
Good. Eric, what did he win?
All right, Wes, you have a pair of tickets to see Wayne Brady at Tulalip Resort and Casino Friday, March 29th. And you've qualified for an overnight stay at the Tulalip Resort and Casino for after the show. You've got a 1 in 5 chance of winning.
Right.
Yay, Wes.
Okay.
You been up for a while this morning? Wes?
He's on hold.
Oh, yeah, he is. For about 18 years now.
I like that guy.
7:25. Still to come this morning. There's buried treasure worth millions of dollars out there. The guy who buried it left clues in a poem he wrote. Joe, how come you're not out looking?
Oh, I just found out about this morning.
It's the craziest story.
It is amazing.
A very rich, very eccentric old dude left millions in buried treasure. We'll give you the clues.
You're listening to The Bob Rivers Show on 95.7 KJR. Right after The Bob Rivers Show, it's the greatest hits of the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Bob Rivers in the Morning and the greatest hits of the 60s, 70s, and 80s on 95.7 KJR.
You know what I love? I love surprises that make me happy. Lately, I heard some great stories of people who went to see my friends at West Seattle Coins and Bellevue Rare Coins, and boy, were they surprised. Not to mention really happy, because they found out how much their valuables are really worth. One customer came in with a wedding ring from a previous marriage and walked out with $10,000. She had no idea. Here's another. West Seattle Coins and Bellevue Rare Coins recently paid over $30,000 for a single diamond. I think anyone would be happy with 30 grand in their pocket. When it comes to understanding the true worth of jewelry or coins, the money is in the details. Consider this. Every month, their GIA-accredited staff at West Seattle Coins and Bellevue Rare Coins evaluates thousands of individual pieces of jewelry and coins. That's right, thousands. They know what to look for, they take the time, they explain it to you, and you're sure you're getting the true value. West Seattle Coins and Bellevue Rare Coins. They'll pay what your gold, silver, and jewelry are really worth.
It's the 25th anniversary of the Northwest Women's Show. Go to nwwomenshow.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
The weather's getting warmer, and that means it's time to start working on your yard. Right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, you can pick up a SuperStart lawn and garden battery starting at $21.99. SuperStart batteries are built extra tough with unbeatable vibration resistance, so you can count on SuperStart batteries to start your riding lawnmower or tractor time and time again. Springtime means yard work and lots of it. So when it's time to replace your battery, let the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts help you choose the SuperStart lawn and garden battery that's right for you. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today for a reliable, hard-working SuperStart lawn and garden battery starting at $21.99. SuperStart lawn and garden batteries are available exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
O'Reilly, oh, 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 O'Reilly, O'Reilly. Auto Parts.
The new mattress models are on their way, so Mattress Discounters is making room with a Serta and Posturepedic closeout sale. Get 50% off clearance mattress sets and save up to $400 on closeout sets from Serta Perfect Sleeper and Sealy Posturepedic. Of course, you always get free delivery and Mattress Discounters' lowest price or its free guarantee. Just look for the red tag and save during Mattress Discounters' Serta and Posturepedic closeout sale.
Have a good night's sleep for less. Mattress Discounters!
Seattle drivers love Subaru. It's perfect for the Northwest. Just right for our winter driving conditions. Great for our summer activities like hiking, biking, and kayaking. And perfect for our families and pets. So right now, during the Subaru True Love event at Walker's Rent and Subaru, you can make it your one and only with incredible savings. For example, Walker's has the 2013 Subaru Outback 2.5i for just $22,918. That includes air, Bluetooth, roof rails, a 5-star safety rating, and of course, Subaru's incredible all-wheel drive system. That was just $22,918. $29.18 for the 2013 Subaru Outback 2.5i. So get to Walker's Rent and Subaru or go online at rentandsubaru.com and check it out today or any of our other great deals. Let your heart lead the way and see why Seattle drivers love Walker's Rent and Subaru. Exit 2 off 405 in Renton or online at rentandsubaru.com. Walker's Rent and Subaru. Is there anywhere else? VINs available at dealer. Outback model DDA01. All prices and vehicles subject to $150 doc fee. See dealer or website for complete details. Ends February 28th, 2013.
Want to hear something that pairs perfectly with red wines and white wines? Rosés and bubblies. The word sale. And right now at Safeway, it's a big one. With your club card, you can save 30% on all Washington wines. Plus, get an extra 10% off when you buy 6 bottles or more. With savings that big, mix and match your favorites. Wine sale. Ah, oh, that has a lovely finish to it, doesn't it? Save 30% on Washington wines at Safeway. Ingredients for life. 10% offer valid on 750 milliliter or larger bottles. March means spring, and at Safeway, March also means a whole month of deals on frozen favorites. Use your club card in the frozen food department all month long for the big event. Like this week, get delicious DiGiorno pizzas, 2 for just $10, selected varieties. And load up on other popular brands like Eggo waffles and Green Giant vegetables. Just look for the specially marked tags in the frozen food aisles and save. Celebrate spring all month long with cool savings on frozen favorites at Safeway. Ingredients for life.
Running a business without being incorporated is like walking a tightrope without a net. One little misstep could cost you your entire business, your personal assets, and even your life savings. But no matter how big or small your business is, you can quickly protect yourself and your family by incorporating or forming an LLC. Call LLC.com today, and we'll get you started by sending you our important free guide, 1-800-500-7960. At LLC.com, we don't offer legal or financial advice. We specialize in making incorporation simple, quick, and easy. In fact, we've been helping businesses do just that for over 100 years. Running a business without a safety net really is putting your whole future on the line and your family's future. Find out how simple it is to protect your personal assets by incorporating. Request your free guide by calling 1-800-500-7960. This is information you really need to know. That number again is 1-800-500-7960. 1-800-500-7960.
From the Western Washington Honda Dealers Traffic Center, I-5 northbound approaching 188th just cleared up that accident. The bad news, though, is that the traffic stretches out to 320th. And just before that as well, we had an incident on the shoulder I-5 northbound near Enchanted Parkway. It's gotten cleared up, but there is some crowding there as well. Southbound I-5 through Linwood, Edmonds, and Shoreline pretty backed up. It looks like Ever2Seattle taking you about 46 minutes.
This traffic report is brought to you by Constant Contact. Want your marketing plan to be as stress-free as the open road? Email marketing from Constant Contact is an easy-to-use tool that helps you to reach your customers in a place they're checking every day, their inbox. Sign up for a free trial from the industry-leading provider at ConstantContact.com.
You're listening to The Bob Rivers Show on 95.7 KTR.
Somewhere there is an album of soundtrack music from The Goonies from Treasure Hunt. And
this may be the best background music Pedro has ever selected for a topic. Goonies is the greatest Treasure Hunt movie of all time. Locally shot. You know, Sean Astin, Rudy, Samwise. First, of course, he was the Goonie. He was the head of the Goonies. Local kid. He's here all the time in town.
I haven't seen him since he did the Lord of the Rings and was on our show.
Yep. He is in town very, very
You've
much
You've seen
of
him
time.
Since?
Oh, yeah. He likes a friend of mine's restaurant, actually. It's called Mr. V up on Lake City Way. Huh. He's in there twice a month, if not more.
How's he doing?
Fantastic. Guy's on top of his game. He's built like a linebacker. It amazes me. You know, when you film movies like The Hobbit, you get in character, blah, blah, blah. And Samwise was kind of a chunk, even after they marched their way all the way to the Mount Doom. Sean Astin is ripped.
He's ripped.
Oh, yeah. He's a solid, solid kid. I mean, he's a stocky guy.
Stocky but ripped.
Yeah, he's ripped.
Yeah. It's funny. I saw you talk about stocky guys on television. I saw an episode of Once Upon a Time. It's an older episode, but Hurley from Lost is in it.
And the word ripped came to mind?
No. He plays a giant. He plays the jolly, not the jolly green giant, but Jack and the Beanstalk giant,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was kind of a cruel... I felt bad for him, like he needed the money.
He knows what his casting is.
Yeah. Mm.
It's not for handsome lead.
Okay, 7:35. An old guy has buried treasure and left clues in a poem he wrote, If You Believe Him. He's New Mexico multimillionaire Forrest Fenn. And he was on Today, the Today Show, Wednesday. Listen to this.
Made at least 20 trips here. A modern-day treasure hunter, hoping, like thousands of others,
a pool like that would be the perfect place
to strike it rich. They're all looking for this, a 42-pound bronze chest filled with a multi-million-dollar bounty, hundreds of gold nuggets and rare coins, as well as jewels, emeralds, diamonds, and rubies. They were hidden by a man who knows treasure when he sees it.
It's home. Here's where I'm most comfortable.
For decades, Forrest Fenn has hunted down, collected, and sold art and artifacts to the rich and a few famous.
This is a brandy bottle that Jackie Kennedy left in my guest house.
It brought him his own fortune and a good life. After 328 combat missions in Vietnam, he felt bulletproof right up until the day of his terminal cancer diagnosis.
So you started filling this chest, but what was the goal?
I said, if I've got to go, why don't I just let somebody else have as much fun with this as I've had?
Fenn wanted others to experience the same thrill of the chase. So he hid the chest and wrote a memoir with a poem offering 9 clues.
Begin at where warm waters halt.
It's been almost 3 years since Forrest says he stashed the gold and the jewels. Thousands have trekked out here to the mountains based on his clues. And yet that treasure remains as elusive as the day it was hidden.
Hundreds have emailed Fenn about finding not the gold, but something more valuable. A son planning a trip with his dad writes, the real treasure might just be bringing family together.
Do you want someone to find this?
I'm ambivalent about that. You know, I could go either way.
Fenn says with the treasure unclaimed, the adventure continues. It may be a gift worth more than the gold itself.
So supposedly he buried a chest full of treasure. And his poem, which has 9 clues, its primary purpose is to get family together to go out on a treasure hunt.
That's brilliant.
It's stupid.
You don't believe him. I'm so surprised. Note the sarcasm.
Well, even if he were telling the truth, we bicker on the way to a fast food joint. Can you imagine bickering on a treasure hunt as a family? And what are they going to do to the pristine wilderness where it's buried? They're going to dig holes everywhere.
I think the
you're going to turn the whole thing into into a dump.
Those are all good points, but I completely agree with this man. I mean, I believe him. You don't start telling huge lies the minute you're diagnosed with terminal cancer. That's when you usually start.
That's when you tell the truth.
Start cleaning your slate up pretty good.
You have to buy the book to get the clues, obviously, right?
Now, the clues are on the internet. I've got the clues. We'll post them at bobrivers.com.
What?
The first one is where warm waters end, right? Begin where warm waters end. Is that a dam?
That's the toilet bowl. Warm waters end right
what
there.
What percentage chance are you willing to give that it might be true? Are you going to give us 10%?
Well, I don't know. I'm not saying I know. You guys assumed that I thought he was a fraud. I just think it's a bad idea.
It's a buried treasure.
Whether it's true or not.
To have people tromp around looking for it?
Yeah, I tromped around as a little kid looking for Easter eggs when there was no Easter bunny.
Has the state
still
recovered?
Upset about that?
I know you are.
Well, there's a.
I made holes everywhere. I traipsed through swamps.
Did you destroy the state?
Disturbed vegetation. Yes, of course I did.
There's a picture of this guy's chest, and it is full of gold and stuff.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, and he, I believe he buried it. It's somewhere.
He might have, sure.
Somewhere in the Rocky Mountains.
But here's a weird one. When he is asked if he wants it to be found, he's like, he's ambivalent about that. He just wants people to look for it forever. That is a guy who's dying trying to control people from the grave.
That's true.
We all talk about what you're going to leave behind.
I'm going to leave behind a bunch of frustrated people. That's what I'm going to leave.
Family fighting.
Yeah.
What about
environmental
hope?
Destruction?
Hope?
He hopes brings eternal.
Yeah.
Maybe. Here's the poem, The Thrill of the Chase. See, and the poem's title gives away that he doesn't want you to ever find it. The Thrill of the Chase. Not the thrill of finding my treasure. As I've gone alone in there, and with my treasures bold, I can keep my secret where, and hint of riches, new and old. Begin it where warm waters halt, and take it in the canyon down, not far, but too far to walk. Put in below the home of Brown. What's the home of Brown? Do we know? Is there probably going to be websites devoted to filling out?
Well, you know,
thing?
UPS was founded here in Seattle, and I've often heard, what can Brown do?
It could
for
be
you?
Anywhere in the United States.
Well, I think it's in the Rocky Mountains. But as far as Brown goes, that's the first thing I think of. Might be a UPS place close by.
From there, it's no place for the meek. The end is drawing ever nigh. There'll be no paddle up your creek, just heavy loads and water high. If you've been wise and found the blaze, look quickly down, your quest to cease, but tarry scant with marvel gaze, just take the chest and go in peace. So why is it that I must go and leave my trove for all to seek? The answer's I already know. I've done it tired, and now I'm weak. So hear me all and listen good. Your effort will be worth the cold. If you are brave and in the wood, I give you title to the gold. Happy hunting.
I love this guy. He totally buried the treasure. Someone's going to find it. It's going to make their life better.
Okay, wonderful.
It's awesome.
That's what I'm like today.
Yeah. I agree.
I love your optimism. I brought that in on a day or two myself. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's nice. Yes.
I think it's a wonderful thing he's doing. Now, I don't know. You would think in this modern era, it would be pretty easy to find that big of a chunk of metal. I mean,
I could see the U.S. government scouring the area with like infrared and
black ops chopper sweeping overhead.
And, yeah.
In the Google Earth world we live in, if you can see the old car on the side of my house or whatever from
the
space.
The Pentagon is looking at satellite footage over the years when he would have buried it. They're going to track him down.
It's worth a few million bucks. We can use it.
Yes, Pedro.
I don't want to sound skeptic, but this person is pretty old. And this chest is very heavy, so someone must have helped him. And if that person helped him,
yeah,
that person could have
that person is following the poem to where the rivers end.
Exactly.
No, that guy was paid off.
You think so?
Easy.
There's someone else that knows exactly what this is, and this is going to sell the information to somebody else, and that person's going to
The guy who helped him might be in the hole right next to the chest.
That's how you do it.
Yeah,
you get the pirates did it.
Bam! Thanks for your help.
Cover him up. We're leaving.
All right. Billy Joe Armstrong, remember Billy Joe Armstrong at the iHeartRadio Music Festival had a kind of a meltdown at the end of his set, and he was complaining because his set was cut short. Billy Joe Armstrong is talking to Rolling Stone magazine about that. And he had checked into rehab right afterwards, says it was substance abuse. Says he's been struggling with alcohol and prescription drugs. And I don't know which prescription drugs or which alcohol, but those are things you can't really take together, right?
Probably Mad Dog and Ambien. That's my guess.
He would get so wasted, he said, that he'd black out. I think I blacked out like 3 or 4 times in my life. Have you guys ever blacked out?
I blacked out.
It's a scary feeling.
Once when I took roofies when they first became popular in college and I didn't realize what was going on.
Someone gave you one or you knew what it was?
I knew what it was.
You didn't
I
know what it would do.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be fun and it wasn't fun.
Do you black out? All right.
Yes.
Move on. Next question.
Yeah, it's school bus time here.
Is it school bus time?
Yeah, yeah. But I read the whole article from Billy Joe last night.
No, it gets out of answering the question.
I know,
Let's go back on a treasure.
Come on. A direct question. You're going to dodge a direct question?
We've
Mommy
all
answered.
We've all lived through a blackout. Yes. Sometimes the power goes out and Santa Claus can't find your house because the lights aren't on during the blackout.
I went to the dentist yesterday, and the end of my appointment was a little hazy, too. So, I mean, yeah.
You did the nitrous.
Oh yeah,
and I didn't
black out, so to speak.
Okay.
But.
Now that's a whole different feeling. It's when you wake up and you really have no idea where you were.
But
Billy says I couldn't predict back in this time where I was going to end up at the end of the night. I'd wake up in a strange house or on the couch, and I wouldn't remember how I got there. Scary stuff. He says when he had his onstage meltdown at the iHeartRadio Music Festival in September. He didn't remember anything from that night. He didn't remember. Do you have the audio of his meltdown?
Yeah.
Here's what he did.
Are you kidding me? What the? I'm not Justin Bieber, you mother. You got
And what it was is these shows are networked and they're very tightly controlled. It's like an NFL game or the Super Bowl. It's like anything. They everything's on a timer. And for some reason, he thought his set was going to be longer, and he realized he didn't have any time left. What he did was great publicity in one sense, because it's publicity. On the other hand, when you are participating in the big media music events of the day, you know, they like people who can put on a good show and make the show look great, end on time. I think I remember, because it's a Clear Channel event, the day after, people were scratching their heads going, I don't know. I guess everybody's talking about it, so it can't be that bad. You know, no one was really that upset.
Didn't the schedule get changed because someone else went long? And then
there was another artist.
They cut their set shorter than anticipated. Wasn't that the deal?
Well, yeah. There was never any official comment confirming that.
Usher.
But it was never like, that's right, we did it. We cut them short. It was more like, you know, come on. The schedule is the schedule.
And Billy Joe Armstrong loves to play music. I've been a Green Day fan for multiple decades, and if you've ever seen them live, you know that this guy just loves what he does. Right. So if he doesn't feel like clearing off stage because Usher has to come on, right, and you have to make room for Usher's dancers.
But as a businessman, if he doesn't realize he's on a major stage making a DVD and making a TV and a radio program that's being broadcast live, then you don't get asked back.
He realizes it. He doesn't care. You know why? Because right, he's a rock star.
Yeah.
Well, and he said it was a bad idea to start with. He said, you know, We like to do these Grammys and all these things that
we like to be asked back sometimes.
Well, we like to do them to represent real rock and punk rock or whatever. And they said, when a kid buys a Green Day album, maybe he'll buy a Ramones album. We almost do it to put that form of music onto kids.
Do it
stations
for their brothers in the same category. Well, the cutout bins.
That's
of
why they'll hang. But he said he knew going into this Las Vegas show that he goes, I don't even usually work up a sweat for the first 15 minutes. We do 2.5,
right,
3-hour shows. And he said, the one thing I remember was this big countdown clock that said 15, then 14. He doesn't even remember the night, but he remembers like this clock counting down on him. And you ask what drugs he was on, he won't say. But I don't know if he doesn't say because he doesn't want to glorify the drugs and have Green Day fans go, oh, well, that's the one Billy Joe liked. I'll go get me some or why. But he won't say specifically.
Which drugs?
But he will say that anti-anxiety and sleep medicines, and that he started getting them mixed up, that he was so gone that he would take the one you're supposed to take at night during the day, the one you're supposed to take during the day at night, and
that, supposed to take that with gin, I took it with vodka, which was bad. So.
But that he had been a functioning blackout drunk for a really long time and pretty good at it and pretty successful.
Well, it's easy when you have somebody driving you everywhere and somebody handling your business for you and
handing you
out
a tuned guitar.
Yeah.
So you say you could be good at being a functioning blackout drunk. Do they have the functioning blackout drunk Olympics?
Well, he was with support. Yeah. He was good in the sense that
that
he would wake up feeling like death and going, oh my God, this, I feel terrible. But
then they could
by
still
the
go
time
to work. Yeah.
The sound check came along. Then he would have a few beers, and before you know it, he's up on the stage. And
do you ever see that movie about the airline pilot?
Flight.
Flight, but
and Denzel Washington.
Denzel Washington.
Right.
Did you ever see that?
No, I want to see that one. That's on my on demand now.
Go check that out. It is on demand.
I'm waiting to see it on a plane. You think that'll come around?
It won't. It'll never be shown on a plane.
No.
But it is. It's about that. It's about someone who's really descended into that blackout realm.
Functioning.
Who has the job of airline pilot.
I saw the highlight at the Oscars where he's testifying. They're like, well, did you drink, you know, before? Yeah, I was drunk. Did you? And then in the end he goes, yeah, I'm drunk right now.
He's
out there testifying at the hearing.
Right.
And, you know, he goes,
oh, it's very powerful. So Billy Joe Armstrong says, I remember only tiny things. The next morning, I woke up and I asked my wife, Adrienne, how bad was it? And she said, it's bad. I called my manager. He said, you're getting on a plane and you're going to rehab right now.
Wow.
So good luck to him.
Good luck to him, brought to you by Geico.
Yes.
And he needs it because he said in the article, because I crave, you know, liquor still all the time. So I don't know what's going to happen when I get out there.
All right. So new words in the Oxford Dictionary this year. Braggadocious.
No. Really?
What is this? A few examples of the words that have been added to the Oxford Dictionaries as part of the 2013 update. date. Is Braggadocious in there? I know it was up for it. Is it in there, Joe?
Yeah, the list is towards the bottom of the page and goes to the second page. These are all new words that are now official words.
All right. Appletini.
Okay.
Martini made of apple juice, right?
So, no. It's a very sweet liqueur. It's terrible.
All right. Baggy green. What is baggy green?
B-A-G-G-Y green?
Yep, it's a new word.
I would think that'd be weed.
I would think so, too.
Biosimilar is a word. Blutered, like blottered, only blutered is a word. I don't know any of these.
Baggy green is a cricket cap. Cricket, like
the game?
The game, yeah.
A flexitarian. Joe, are you a flexitarian?
Right there, baby.
I think it means you eat different things at different points of your life.
A dumb phone. What's a dumb phone?
Opposite of a smartphone.
Wow. It can make phone calls for you.
Yeah, all it does is make phone calls.
Yeah.
Or a BlackBerry. Yeah. By the way, I met someone yesterday who had a new Samsung. I guess there's a hot phone that's bigger than a phone, but smaller than an iPad mini.
Right. That's a Galaxy, right?
And he's the first person I've met who ditched their iPhone, said, goodbye, Apple. I want this one. I want something big enough to be my little computer, but small enough to still be my phone.
Remember the commercials the whole campaign they put out of the people waiting in line for an iPhone, and the Galaxy folks were all doing stuff they could do next time. And
what's that?
This is the Galaxy.
No, it's bigger than that.
Bigger than that one.
It's bigger than that. It's like about this big. That's 5 or 6 inches. Anyway, I decided at that lunch with this guy that Apple is toast now because they're dumb.
Stuff's too big or too small?
No, they think they lead the market. Now they have to make things different sizes, and they're reluctant. New, we decree that the Apple phone is this size, and then we decree that the iPad mini is going to be this, and we're only going to have 3 phones.
Right.
They're going to lose.
We got to get the clothing manufacturers and the technology people together, you know, because I don't think we've hit the right size yet. You got a big enough pocket to put something in that you can actually see, you know, because the iPad is obviously too big for any pocket. You got to carry that around like a
You'd
notebook.
Like this one my friend. I'll ask him what it is.
It's the Note.
It's the Note?
Yeah.
And it's still a phone, right?
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. Why do you need, a lot of people want one device. Some of us can have an iPad and an iPhone. Meanwhile, Apple is running these stupid ads. Even my wife and I watched this ad last night, and we both thought it was stupid. They're running a stupid ad where someone's playing chopsticks on an iPad. Have you seen that ad?
Yeah, there's an iPad and an iPad mini side by side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What the hell is that? Sorry, I'm grumpy today.
Boy, you are turning on your people.
I don't like Apple today.
You're like a Benedict Arnold.
I am.
What do we got to do to put you back in your Apple?
Nothing. No. I'm afraid you have to bring Steve Jobs. You have to reanimate him.
You know, back to Billy Joe, that's another time when they knew he had a problem. Was he got mad about something about Apple, and he basically said, I hope Steve Jobs hurries up and dies of cancer.
He said that?
Yeah, on stage. And that was at a show in Australia, and that was kind of the first hint of, he may be having a little too much before he gets up there on stage when he starts saying stuff like that.
Anyway, no, I officially think that Apple has lost it. They're running dumb piano commercials, and they aren't building stuff the right size, so that people are actually abandoning. The whole idea of the iPhone is once you get hooked on that operating system, they have you for life.
Mm-hmm. I think you're being a piano snob.
It's also that.
Because chopsticks is for babies.
Well, chopsticks, it's not chopsticks. It's you can't really take an iPad and play piano on it. It's a dumb commercial because the iPad makes a terrible piano. And it doesn't play in time as good as it does in the commercial. When you make a phony commercial that doesn't really, you can't do what it says in the commercial. When they first came out with the commercials for smartphones, they showed these screens moving fast and people pulling up restaurant reviews and stuff. And I remember thinking, you can't possibly do all that on a phone that quick. And then I saw someone with a phone, and you could. And I was like, phew.
So
a goner.
Don't you think a kid with a keyboard app on a phone can have fun just tinkering on keys?
If you call me right now and play something that makes musical sense on a phone with your fingers. See?
That's a YouTube video of a guy playing with his fingers on an iPhone.
Let me see it.
Come here and see it. I'm like, what do you want me to do?
Yeah, but it doesn't play that good.
I'm not keyboard. It's not, you know.
Well, that's a pro probably there, too.
Is he playing with his hands?
Yeah, two fingers. Live. Two fingers live.
Okay, I stand corrected.
He's going to be playing along with heart next week.
I don't think that's him really playing in real time. I think it's fake.
I'm looking at it.
While you guys are listening to this, I have to point out that Texter says at geekstore.com, they make smart coats that are coats with 15 pockets on the inside deep enough for all your dumb gadgets.
All your dumb gadgets.
Yeah. Geek Store.
Okay. 7:55. That's dumb.
That's Spike playing, you know, right?
Yeah,
there.
But give it to a baby, please.
Well, that's for a guy who can't play piano. That's not bad.
All right, let me see it. Give it to a baby.
Give it to the baby.
Now you're a piano player. Give it a try.
So let me try and play Alone by heart.
To the microphone, please.
Oof. Well, it doesn't have enough keys.
You got too many fingers.
My fingers are too fat. See? It's horrible.
It sounded like yesterday, yeah.
I know. I saw the commercial and I went, well, how is this useful to anybody? But I also didn't think it would play that well. It plays better than I thought it would.
There you go.
And that's just an iPhone. Imagine now a tablet.
I will be imagining it later. 7:56. Okay. Still to come this morning, the Seattle police have announced their own version of pre-crime. The cops plan to fight crime that hasn't happened yet using predictive computer algorithms. My wife and I were looking for TV shows last night. I watched Once Upon a Time, but she's decided that's kind of stupid for her. So I think I'm going to try Person of Interest, which is a big hit show.
You will love it.
Good drama. And they're into pre-crime as well, right?
In that story, there's a machine called The Machine that's been invented that has face recognition for everybody in this country at all times.
Right.
And the government conspiracy to keep that a secret.
And that machine followed this guy who said he was burying the treasure, and they've already got the treasure. Don't even look. All right. What's Seattle's pre-crime? It uses computer algorithms.
You're listening to The Bob Rivers Show on 95.7 KJR.
From the Western Washington Honda Dealers Traffic Center, I-5 southbound near 45th, we've got a stall blocking the left lane. Also, I-5 southbound in the main lanes at Seneca, we have an accident blocking the right lane. Apparently, there's some fire and aid blocking the lane there. Also, looks like in the express lanes, we had an incident that just got cleared up. But really, the rain's coming down and really impacting the drive. So please take it easy out there. Everett to Seattle right now taking you 67 minutes.
This traffic report is brought to you by Overlake Medical Centers.
At Overlake, they think weight loss surgery is more about adding years than losing pounds. To learn about their life-changing metabolic and bariatric surgery center, visit overlakehospital.org/WLS clinic. Overlake. We think about you.
March Madness is in full swing at Muckleshoot Casino, and their meal deals are always a slam dunk. Throughout the month of March, you can celebrate the top of the morning at the Coyava Grill, where they feature a traditional Irish fry-up breakfast for just $5.95. Enjoy Irish bacon, sausage, potatoes O'Brien, and your choice of eggs served daily from 6 to 10 a.m. For a really quick bite, check out the Barista or Sweet Shop for a fresh traditional donut and medium coffee, only $1 every Monday through Friday from 6 to 10 a.m. BSB is the place to be for burgers, spirits, and beer, so take advantage of the $14.95 March Madness party meal. Enjoy a half dozen gourmet sliders, a bucket of fries, and a pitcher of domestic beer Monday through Thursday from 11 a.m. till 8 p.m. for one low price. Get all the latest promotions, entertainment, and dining specials at MuckleshootCasino.com, then plan a March Madness escape at Muckleshoot Casino in Auburn, the biggest and best in the Northwest.
American Family Insurance believes your dreams are what matter most. That's why we offer affordable ways to protect them. My dream is to own a second car and a house with a two-car garage to keep it in.
My dream is to start my own business and make my son my first employee.
Whatever your dream may be, American Family Insurance can help protect it. Find an agent or get a competitive quote at AmFam.com or call 1-800-MY-AMFAM. Your dream is out there. Go get it. We'll protect it. And to help inspire you toward achieving your dream, here's the 1970s hit song Dreamweaver, performed by a lounge singer.
Dreamweaver, I believe you can get me through the night. Dreamweaver.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company and its subsidiaries, Home Office, Madison, Wisconsin, 53783.
When Les Schwab opened his first tire store back in 1952, he wasn't thinking about how to celebrate his company's 61st anniversary in 2013. It's not that he didn't believe in what he was doing, it's just that, well, he was probably too busy helping a customer. So, for our founder's celebration, there's no celebrity appearances, no fireworks shows, just our best tire value promise, and some great deals on custom wheels, brake services, and more. All February long at Les Schwab, doing the right thing since 1952.
Want to hear something that pairs perfectly with